The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, my goodness, just like that, it's 9:09 and heading into the 9 o'clock hour on a beautiful Tuesday morning. Steve Geller joins us, WWL Sports Director, Talk Saints. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing all right, Tommy. How you doing this morning?
I'm well. I see you got the family all ready for Christmas. You got a little Facebook post yesterday, right?
Yeah, I came home from Sunday's game. The wife had the tree up already and done. I just had to put the star on top. That was my job.
Well, you're the tallest guy in the room. That's why, probably.
Exactly, right. But the kiddo's catching me. That's his goal.
Yeah. Tell me about, first of all, Taysom Hill. I was in the front row, like Bob. People don't even remember Bob Uecker. But, and the Fox reporter. What's her name, Tim? Do you remember? Megan Olivia, I think, is her name. Was very nice, and she came over and checked the monitor when Taysom Hill got injured, and I was talking to her, and she had no idea who I was, and honestly, at that time, I had no idea who she was, but she turned the monitor around so I could see it and said that Fox chose not to show it on TV because they thought the injury was too gruesome, but it did look painful, and Taysom's out for the season, and I'm concerned about beyond that.
Yeah, that was definitely my concern, too, when you hear about a 34-year-old, the Swiss Army knife that does it all for you, has an ACL injury and includes more damage to the knee as well. What his recovery process is going to be like. But Dr. Elias joined Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier last night and was mentioning that he does not think that this will be a career-ending injury for Taysom, thankfully. It is going to be cutting it close, obviously, for him to be ready for week one of the season next year. But I think the doc and everybody else kind of feels like if there's anybody that can do it, it's definitely a guy like Taysom Hill. You know he's going to put the work in. That desire to play play football is still there. I don't see him wanting to step away from the game, even though the recovery process might now be a pretty intense for a guy that you rely on so much in this offense, obviously.
We don't realize it. I've been through two knee replacements, and I think sometimes, and I'm thinking of Taysom Hill being 34 years old and the injury. What exactly is it, Steve?
It's an ACL injury, and they're just saying with other extensive damage to the knee.
That, you know, a player gets injured and us, we move on. But, man, that's a ton of rehab. First of all, surgery ahead of him, and then a ton of rehab after that.
Yeah, that's the thing I was worried about, too. Obviously, when you see the injury that happened, the taking the knee to the helmet to the knee was a pretty gruesome. Like you mentioned, the sideline reporter not wanting to said that Fox didn't want to replay that over and over again because of it didn't look pretty for him. And when you consider age a factor with this, the thought crept into my head, oh, my goodness, have we seen the last snap mm-hmm. of Taysom Hill in the Saints uniform or in his entire career, honestly. But like I said, Dr. Elias joining the second guest show yesterday kind of put that to ease for me a little, saying, no, he fully expects Taysom to be able to make a full recovery and play football again.
I hope so. But he's something special, I'll tell you that. Let's talk about the other injury, Sal Devery, and what happens with the Saints offensive line from here.
Yeah, Nick Saldivari, Coach Rizzi said that he is dealing with a knee issue and expects him to miss an extensive amount of time. Wouldn't really elaborate more on that, but, you know, it kind of looks like he could be another person that's done for the year for this black and gold bunch. Unfortunately, they've dealt with a litany of injuries this season. It's been ridiculous. The good news on the offensive line front is that Riz said that at least Eric McCoy and Lucas Patrick are both on track to be able to suit up and play this week at New York, at the New York Giants. That would mean that the starting five, your starting five offensive linemen, would be in action for this game. But with back with Nick Saldivari, obviously tough for a young guy that he's had issues in getting on the field, dealing with injuries since he was a fourth round pick out of Old Dominion for this team last year.
And they, what concerned me is they got the cart out so quickly for him. That was like no time.
Too many
at all.
Carts we saw this weekend,
man,
right?
I'm telling you, man. So when it comes to Taysom Hill being out, and you go back to the Saints losing streak, and I understand injuries happen in the NFL. If you look at the wide receiver core, right? And you know, I was talking to Mike Dettelier about this yesterday. I follow this not as closely as you, perhaps, but I do follow it very closely. And I got to look up to see who Pettis is. I don't know who this guy is or where he came from. Not the team that you would want to go into the season with, or that you would anticipate going into the season with. You can't say Taysom Hill is Mr. Everything and then just say, well, he's out, injuries happen, and look at the losing streak and when he was out before. This team did take it on the chin this season when it comes to injuries, and I don't think you can say anything but you.
No, it's been brutal, and unfortunately we've seen that injury bug spread over to the other building as well with the Pelicans. They've been dealing with a rash of injuries there. But this Saints squad, you're mentioning the wide receivers. Man, you got a guy that you picked up, obviously was let go by the Buffalo Bills, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Thank goodness for him. He's been a breath of fresh air, a playmaker that you've been able to rely on these past couple of games, getting a touchdown, that deep threat for you. But you mentioned Adante Pettis, Kevin Austin Jr., Mason Tipton, Cedric Wilson Jr., not the biggest of names you have for Derek Carr to be throwing to. I thought the group did a decent job last game against the Rams, but you're missing your talents like a Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. Even the rookie in Bub Means is banged up right now in that wide receiver room. He's one of those guys, though, that too, the team's hoping to open that practice window for him. He's on injured reserve, also running back Kendra Miller. Both of them could potentially be back Sunday. Coach Riz mentioned maybe both, possibly one, but any kind of addition or help right now is definitely welcome, because you know the playmakers on this squad are totally depleted. You look at right now, Alvin Kamara is your main man, and after that you have a lot of good pieces around, but nothing really significant. And yeah, so that blow with Taysom Hill going down is so magnified because of just everything he does for you in the special teams, in the offense, and then also just the fact that you look at him as probably that number two option behind an Alvin Kamara as your biggest playmaker, and definitely a huge blow for the squad. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond. Luckily, you got a lesser team up ahead in the New York Giants.
I was saying earlier, about a year and a half ago, I was in a post office in Belchase, just the only person in there, and you know, you hear the bell ring, somebody walks in, you turn around, and I say, get the blank out of here. It's Alvin Kamara. So I take a picture with him, right? And the reason I say that is Kendra Miller, I don't think I'd recognize. I don't know who he's been AWOL so much. I don't know what he looks like. Do you see him around the facility? Could you recognize him?
Yeah, you can. I mean, being around the team and the practices, you still see Kendra Miller around. Unfortunately, we know he's been dealing with, you know, you talk about injuries this year. Miller is just someone that since day one of training camp ended up with a hamstring issue, was on the shelf for so long, comes back, ends up dealing with another hamstring injury, not the same one. So there's concern with him not being able to stay on the field, the third round pick out of TCU last year. And, you know, you hear the old, when he's hell, he's been well, you know, when he's well, he's been hell, but we haven't seen him on the field enough, unfortunately. 9 carries this year, 52 yards, averaging 5.8 a carry. So that would be a nice injection to this Saints run game, because obviously we love Alvin Kamara. We want to see, you know, those big plays from him, but we also need to give him a few, you know, spells of rest. We saw Jamal Williams at least back this week taking up some of the slack, but Kendra Miller, obviously, too, you want to see more from him as the future, you would think, of this franchise. Can you rely on him in that running back spot? Because a very talented guy. Like I said, you picked him in the third round for a reason, and I'm just curious. Hopefully he gets back. Can he stay back? That's the biggest question for him right now. I don't think it's the talent. It's just, does he have the conditioning, and can his body hold up in the NFL, unfortunately?
You're talking about Kendre Miller.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Just because since he's come to the Saints, it's just been nothing but injury issues, unfortunately.
Because then when you go to the running back room with Taysom Hill out, who's there? You got Alvin Kamara, who's been playing lights out, and Jamal Williams, who has seen spot duty, I guess, to say the least,
yeah.
Right? So who else is there?
He's been Jamal Williams was very limited for us this year. He's been dealing with a groin injury. We did see him return against the Rams in that matchup. You do have also on your practice squad a guy like Jordan Mims that the team has brought up before. But, yeah, I mean, relying on Alvin to be that guy every single down, you don't want to see that kind of wear and tear on a running back that's 29 years old, obviously.
Jamal Williams ran for 124 yards thus far this season. That's not what the Saints expected when he came from Detroit, I don't think, is it?
No, and the fact that the year he left Detroit, he led the NFL in rushing touchdowns with 14. We just haven't seen that battering ram be able to stay on the field either for this Saints squad. For whatever reason, he's just, you saw like the Detroit Lions seem to, you know, part with hit right ways with him at the right time. Another running back that's 29 years old, and it just seems his better days are sadly behind him. I don't understand, even when he was healthy, he just doesn't get enough play in this offense for whatever reason. I like the guy. He's got a great personality, fun to be around, but on the field, not so much. Like you mentioned, just 124 yards with a touchdown this season. He's averaging 3.9 a carry, but with all the bodies you do have down right now, a guy like Jamal Williams needs to step it up, being that veteran presence behind Alvin Kamara, and like I said, too, with Kendre Miller, that three-headed monster we had a picture of going into the season, just really haven't seen it on display.
Ross Jackson got a story from November 6th saying that maybe Dennis
right.
Allen, talk about that, might have mishandled Kendre Miller. Talk about that, if you would, Steve.
Yeah, it just seems like there was, I guess, some bad blood between the two. Dennis Allen apparently was just fed up dealing with Kendre Miller's hamstring issues and apparently rushed to put him on injured reserve. The running back didn't feel like he needed to go, you know, miss the next four games. It wasn't that significant of an injury. So we're going to see a lot of, or hear a lot of, the fact that Miller's return now to this lineup is going to be all gas, no brakes, as Darren Rizzi said, and he's got no, you know, beef with anybody he mentioned on the roster right now. So hoping that the coaching change can maybe help inspire Kendre Miller's health. I don't think that you know, Dennis Allen obviously is causing Kendre Miller to be missing time, but it appears that the last time that when Miller came back and he got banged up right away with another hamstring issue, apparently that Allen had enough and just put him on injury reserve to be out of sight, out of mind. But the running back, you know, you mentioned Ross Jackson, his sources were saying that Miller wasn't necessarily needed to miss the next four games. He could have come back, and obviously the Saints offense could sure use any kind of infusion of talent right now.
You can't make business personal. You can't make personal business. I don't know if that got in. Who knows? You know, the truth is usually always somewhere in between.
Right.
I know you'd have to be a fool not to want Kendre Miller to succeed, right, and for that to work out. So let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back with Steve Geller. I just saw a tweet from David Hammer. You know, this Lawrence Hecker, that they've been going back and forth with whether he's mentally competent to stand trial or not. Well, finally, today was a day in a courtroom, and he pled guilty on all counts of aggravated rape and kidnapping. That's a tweet from David Hammer. That's the disgraced former priest. So I'm sure David will have more on that. And I don't know, with Jason Williams, I think, was going to handle that trial himself personally. I don't know what kind of sentence it's in exchange for or whatever, but we'll continue to keep you updated on that. 9:22 and a half. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. Talking to sports director Steve Geller. He, of course, the co-host of the Odyssey Original Inside Black and Gold podcast. Latest episode of Inside Black and Gold. He, along with Jeff Nowak, will talk about the Saints and They had a chance to get rolling against the Rams. They hit a roadblock. First loss under Coach Rizzi. And also, they'll talk about Taysom Hill's nasty injury, pick studs and duds, dive into the mailbag, and more. It's a Black and Gold podcast available wherever you get your podcast. Steve Geller spending some time with us now. Steve, I mentioned I was in the front row, and I was right behind the Rams bench. And I got to tell you, the offensive line and the defensive line for the Rams were in pretty good moods when they came to the sideline. It's hard to see from that level, but it did appear. You get a real good feel for the physicality of the game and the speed from that, although that level, although you can't see a lot. It did appear as though they kind of out-physicaled the Saints on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Thoughts?
Oh, yeah, you got that right, Tommy. I mean, you day one of football, you hear, if you don't win the battle in the trenches, you're not going to win the war on the field. And that's exactly the case on both, sadly, the offensive and defensive line. Defending the run game has been an issue for this Black and Gold bunch. They're giving up 5.1 yards per carry. That's tied for worst in the NFL right now. And while Kyren Williams didn't have a monster day, those runs that they just seemed to pick away at the right time and just was, you know, gashing the Saints. It was 6 yards, 11 yards, 8 yards, and there just didn't seem to be any negative plays or 0 yards for the Rams. When they wanted to run, they just were able to at will. And unfortunately, with the defensive line too, man, for all the people that want to criticize Derek Carr being a check down guy, he doesn't have the time. He hasn't been taking sacks, thankfully. Been getting rid of the ball a lot quicker this season, but when you don't have that, you have that clock in your head, and it's sped up even more because of the pressure coming your way. That's going to happen, and thankfully, at least the turnovers haven't been there. But man, oh man, he just hasn't. Carr hasn't had a ton of time to find any open receivers. The only deep threat right now we got is, you know, once in a while you get that home run to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Other than that, it's been a lot of dink and dunk stuff. And that's a product of, sadly, the offensive line not being able to hold up. This was one of the games that I thought for them this year. Despite all the issues they've had this season, this matchup against the Rams, for whatever reason, was probably the worst for the O-line this season.
And on a last play, I don't know, or at least the Saints' last offensive play, I don't know if it was Foster Morrow. It's hard to see who got beat, but the Rams defender had fallen down and the receiver was wide open in the middle of the field. If he had had a second more, who knows what could have happened. But if my aunt was equipped differently, she'd be my uncle, right?
Right, and there's some folks, too. I mean, I get it. You wish Carr was maybe a little bit more mobile, too, because it looks like he might have been able to step up and run for the first down. But that's easy for me and you to talk about, not being in that pressure situation with everything flying around you.
One thing that's inexcusable, and I was scratching my head with the use of the timeout at the end of the first half, but Coach Rizzi later saying that, you know, they had 10 guys on the field on offense, and at this level in the NFL, it just astounds me how guys can't figure out when they're supposed to be on the field and when they're not, especially at a pivotal moment in a game like that, because that did matter when they used that timeout at the end of the first half.
Yeah, Tommy, unfortunately, substitutions has been an issue all season long, and I definitely chalk that obviously up to the amount of injuries you have and different personnel constantly going in and out of the games.
That's a good point.
But that's part of, obviously, football, and we've seen that, unfortunately, be an issue for this team constantly this season, but I do think it's because of, obviously, that rotating door of players you have coming in and out because of the injuries, but you really got to get on your offensive and defensive coaches there to make sure that they've relayed that message of who the heck needs to be on the field at the right time. Definitely inexcusable. More of those little pins and, you know, that have been poking at the balloon for this Saints squad this season, and you know, things are about to pop because right now they're 4-8. They still have the slightest of chances of making the playoffs, but let's be realistic. A 1% chance is, you know, you're pretty much dead in the water there. But that's the way that at least the team's treating it right now. As long as they have that still opportunity, or that the odds are still in their favor to make the playoffs, meaning they still have odds, like I said, just 1%, they're still going to be going all out every single game, every single week, trying to get things done.
And even, you know, I never did buy this tank theory because everything's on everything's on tape, and you know, just every practice, every move you make on a practice field is on is being recorded and being evaluated, if not now, in the future. But what I don't even know how the Saints, with the injury situation, could even go about evaluating talent at this point. You got to kind of play with who you got, right?
Yeah, there's guys. Obviously, everyone is still fighting for the jobs this season, next season. And obviously, a guy like Coach Rizzi, he's not trying to mail it in to improve the team's draft pick because he's coaching for his career. He's trying to get a head coaching gig, if not with the Saints, somewhere else trying to impress somebody. And you see it with the team they're going to be going up against this Sunday in the New York Giants. That's a team that has quit on the season. Obviously, they've dealt with some injuries too. They've moved on for their you know, high-priced quarterback. Tommy DeVito ended up getting banged up. Now you got Drew Locke in there. But just all around, you see a team that doesn't play with that same fire, that same intensity, that same passion. The Saints team does have. It's just unfortunate. Obviously, they're dealing with these injuries right now. And you can't argue with talent. And they just really got out-talented Sunday against the Rams team. They were close with, but just couldn't end up closing the gap. And we saw that. We've seen that so many times this year. I think they're now 1-5 in one score games, the black and gold this season. And, you know, you hate to constantly put the blame on the fact that you're lacking so many players on the field. But when you look at the names and the amount of attrition this team has suffered, it's hard not to, you know, be that number one issue for them when you look at things. It's not the guys don't want to win. It's not that the coaches doesn't know what he's doing. It's just, you're devoid of talent right now because of these injuries.
So tell me about the Giants other than Tommy DeVito. Tommy DeVito. He's out? Who's the quarterback?
Yeah, now they got Drew Locke was running the show last weekend. We'll see if that ends up staying the case moving forward. But, yeah, the Giants have been an utter mess this season. They're 2-10 on the year and surprisingly 0-6 at home. And I hate to see that stat, obviously, because you don't want the Saints to, you know, give them their first win at home this season, going to the New York Giants, which is actually in New Jersey. That's a whole another thing I think is funny. I think while I was growing up in New Jersey, I wasn't a Giants fan because I never understood why the Giants and Jets both play in New Jersey, yet we don't have a team taking our state's title. Mm-hmm. That was always awkward. But the Giants, they're just a mess right now. Head coach Brian Daboll's future's in question. You know, Daniel Jones is been cut. He's now on the Minnesota Vikings squad. Tommy DeVito, we've seen him before, been there, done that. Drew Locke was a guy that spent time with the Denver Broncos, was a second-round pick of them in 2019, and has bounced around a bit and just hasn't been able to, you know, get that starting nod. He's been a backup kind of guy. They do have a decent running back in Tyrone Tracy, a rookie, which the Saints obviously will have to worry about with their deficiencies in the run game. He's averaging around 5 yards a carry this season, has 4 touchdowns. So that's really a big threat there for them. And then we all know the wide receiver Malik Nabers, former LSU Tiger, who has been very vocal about his unhappiness with the Giants offense, with the play calling, with the head coach. So it's kind of interesting to see what's going to happen there overall. But the Giants' weapons on offense, really nothing impressive. You have a guy like Malik Nabers, but who's delivering the ball, obviously a huge factor there. And then their defense has been banged up as well, so it's been subpar. Nothing really scares you about this Giants team. I would be comfortable saying they're probably the worst team in football right now and definitely fighting for that top spot overall in the draft.
So let's talk about the Saints defense real quick in a couple of minutes that we have left. Defensive line, again, got pushed around on Sunday. Jordan's not having a great season. He's long in the tooth. DeMario Davis is not going to go on forever. Thoughts?
Yeah, the defense has definitely been a big letdown because you thought that was going to be their calling card for the year. But you're seeing, yeah, a lot of these guys up in age now. And another thing with injuries, when Tyrann Mathieu left the game, dealing with he's been, you know, nicked up every single game. It seems he leaves towards the end of the fourth quarter area with something. The Matthew Stafford targeted that part of the field immediately. It's like he was trying to avoid throwing to that side with Tyrann Mathieu around. But once he was gone, that side was attacked. And when you have a guy like that, obviously Matthew's skill level isn't the same what it once was, but that threat of him is still there, being that ball-hawking guy. And the pressure has been a problem. You wonder where a guy like Isaiah Foskey's been this entire year just on special teams. That hasn't worked out. Chase Young, we thought, looks like this big, physical, menacing stud and just really hasn't been impressive in that pass rush. And he's on a one-year deal trying to get paid. I'm curious what the market's going to be like for a guy like that. Yeah, he's a former top, you know, the second overall pick in the NFL draft, but we're just not seeing that production. Whereas, you know, I guess another A-Bear saying is, you know, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. Mm-hmm. You hate to see that about the guy. He might be pissed off at me, but we just haven't seen him being able to put that pressure on the quarterback that we were expecting. And that's been all around. And in the middle of the D-line with Nathan Shepard and the rest of the D-tackles there, that's another spot that the Saints are going to have to address, either free agency or the draft, because there's just no push in that middle, putting pressure on the quarterback in his face, and we're seeing them be able to pick apart the team, unfortunately.
It just seems like, man, a lot of needs. I'm just looking ahead, and there's
a lot of needs, right?
Well, luckily, Steve,
they have their full boat of draft picks, and they just need to make the right selections, though, obviously. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot of holes that need fixing here.
All right, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate your time, Steve. Have a nice week, and let's hope they beat the Giants.
Tommy.
You bet. All right, 9:40, we're going to talk to my boy Troy Duhon on Giving Hope, Giving Tuesday. I call it Giving Hope Tuesday, but when we come back, 9:41, traffic now, WWL. 9:48, 12 till 10, it's Giving Tuesday after, you know, Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all that stuff. And look, I had a lot of people reach out to me, my friends over at Shaw and Troy Duhon, who joins us now, a Shaw graduate, about giving to Shaw. You can give to more than one organization. It's not limited, but we wanted to have Troy on, founder of Giving Hope NOLA, a cause that I'm not as involved with as I should be. But Troy certainly does devote a lot of his time to Giving Hope NOLA. How you doing, Troy?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
I am okay, sir. Tell me about the organization and about how people can donate today and what
you know,
that money's going to go toward.
Today you get a chance to donate. Not just money. People got to understand it's not always about money. It's also about time. And one of the things that Giving Hope, we love to do, we do it a lot with a lot of high schools. Matter of fact, Shaw is one of them. My son, when he went to Jesuit, my daughter will be here this weekend with her girlfriend from Mount Carmel. It's to give these kids an opportunity, including yourself and your family, a chance to volunteer, to serve. So often people think it's always about money. But what if you just decided that this Giving Tuesday or this Christmas season, I'm not going to just write a check. I'm going to take my family, my kids, and we're going to go serve someone so my kids understand what the world is really about. Because most kids do not understand that there are a lot of people struggling to make ends meet. And in a city like New Orleans, known for food, we shouldn't have food insecurity like we do. Because, Tommy, our lines at Giving Hope are not getting shorter, my friend. They're getting much longer. And you're starting to see more and more people struggle to make ends meet. So I would say this holiday season, don't always think it's about money. Challenge your kids, challenge your workers, challenge your company, challenge your family to go volunteer. Go be a difference in somebody's life and watch what it does to you.
Yeah, you know, Troy, as you say that, I'm thinking, you know, I always use school meeting example of setting up chairs, that nothing just happens, right? Somebody has to set up the chairs, somebody has to pick them up, somebody has to clean up after. Stuff doesn't just happen. And I think by volunteering, especially with Giving Hope NOLA, people would be able to see how much goes on behind the scenes just to even get it to the point of handing the food out at the lines.
Just to take say there's an 80-year-old lady coming through the line. Someone's got to carry her basket. Someone's got to put that basket in the car. Some of the people who leave here leave with 60, 70 pounds of food, and that's what they live on for the entire month. And someone's got to put the food in the basket. Someone's got to unload the 18-wheeler. Someone's got to go serve the meal to the senior like you did, Tommy. Someone's got to go sit down and serve that senior. And the cool thing is, you're putting a smile on someone's face, whether it's that 80-year-old lady or it's that senior that's sitting in assisted living. And like I said, a lot of times the blessing isn't to them, it's to you.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, Troy, as you say that about, and I was thinking about, you know, the conversation I had, so many times so many seniors live alone and they're lonely, and maybe, you know, take some time to talk to them, just to listen to their story, because sometimes you might learn a lot more than you think you would, and you're going to provide some companionship. It doesn't have to be a gift of your time in terms of volunteering to put something, to do something for them. Maybe it's just spend some time with them.
And, Tommy, you may recall this. The guy you sat with fought in D-Day, you were shocked that his memory was that good. You remember
absolutely.
That?
Sure, absolutely I do. I'll never forget that.
And I would say this. In the generation these young Gen Zs are, everything's games, iPhones, social media. Man, call time out on your child's life and let them come see the real world. Whether it's Giving Hope, any of these great nonprofits that are out there, if you get a chance to show your children the real world, it will really change the attitude of your kids. When Miss Betty gets done with your child for one day, you will be shocked, I promise you.
Well, again, because they realize nothing just happens, that the food doesn't show up at the line, that it's got to come from the store, it's got to from the whoever it is that donates it, from Walmart's or whomever, it's from the restaurants, that it's got to be packaged, it's got to be assembled. In Miss Betty's case, it's got to be cooked, right? Nothing just happens. Tell me about, real quick, for people, if they do want to go to givinghopenola.org and donate, what that money's going to be used for.
Yeah, we use that money to fit. You know, we get a lot of stuff donated. So we have trucks that go out every day to Walmart, Winn-Dixie, Rouse's. We picked up all the stamped out food, but we actually pay cooks to cook it. So some of that money goes to paying the people who actually cook the food, because we're serving about 1,100 hot meals a day, right? And then, of course, we use some of that money to pay some of the staff, because, like I said, on any given day, Tommy, between the West Bank and here in New Orleans East, we're going to see 2,000 to 3,000 people. I mean, families, so therefore it's a lot more people. So when you give to Giving Hope, and the cool thing is, when you want to know the truth about a nonprofit, here's what I learned. Going from the car business to the nonprofit world, it is a business, Tommy. And you can go to any website of any nonprofit, look at their 990, look at how they rate, and it's just like a credit score. So Giving Hope has the highest rating, because 91% of what, for every dollar that comes in, Tommy, 91 cents goes out. We rank top 1 to 2% in the country. And it's because of all the volunteers, because of food that we get donated, right? And so a lot of what we have, we don't pay for. So that's the beautiful thing about supporting Giving Hope. You can guarantee that 91 cents on your dollar is being used, not for overhead, not for payroll of administration, but strictly going to the people's needs.
Nothing just happens. Troy, you have taken your talents that you learned at Shaw and other places, and from Ray Brandt. As a matter of fact, they're involved with the telethon, with the radiothon tomorrow, the Ray and Jessica Brandt Foundation. You turn that into dealerships all over the country. Now you're turning it into charities all over the world. And, my friend, I admire you, and I love you, and thanks for coming on.
You bet. Thank you, Tommy.
Bye-bye. All right, you bet. Troy Duhon, founder of Giving Hope NOLA. You can go to givinghopenola.org to donate, or go to whatever organization. And like Troy was saying, not just money. It can be time or whatever you can do, just talking to people, visiting them to help them out. We'll find out what Noel's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.